Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up, Kansas City Golden Gloves, April 4th, 5th, and 6th at Memorial Hall. Something near and dear to my heart. Of course, having fought in the Golden Gloves long, 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 long ago at Municipal Auditorium. Now, Memorial Hall, a great venue for boxing. And so we have a couple of people to talk about. First, we have Chris Walden, who's going to tell us a little bit about the event itself. And then we have one of the participants that you can watch, Marco Romero. First, Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Tell people that want to go out and watch this event and watch some great action, when, where, how much, what they got to do.
So it all starts this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Bell time is 7 p.m. each night. It's at Memorial Hall, one of the best boxing venues in the Midwest. Tickets, you can buy tickets at the door beginning tomorrow night at 6 for any of the three nights. There are still table and ringside seats available for Thursday and Friday and some for Saturday. But as you know, in that venue, I mean, there's no bad seat. The lower level seats, you can get lower level for $10 Thursday and Friday and $20 for Saturday, and there's just no bad seat.
It's almost like it was made for boxing.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So everything be set up. We're going to live stream this year. Kind of excited about that. We're going to live stream for the first time, and so we're getting the company that does the live streams for USA Boxing, the National Championships, and the Olympic Trials. They're coming down. They're going to live stream it. For $20, you can get all three nights, all session pass.
And where do people go for that?
It'll be posted on our social media later today or tomorrow.
So. Okay, so introduce this young man that's sitting next to you, please.
So really happy to have a first-time Golden Gloves participant, somebody who I kind of watched when he was 8, 9 years old. Now, as you see in front of you, he's a nice, big, successful young man. This is Marco Romero of Turner Boxing Academy.
Okay, so Marco, how old are you?
I'm 18 years old.
And how long have you been fighting?
I've been fighting since I started training at the age of 7, but I've been boxing since the age of 8.
And you, 17 national championships?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you're ranked number one?
Ranked number one in the country.
Yes, all right, sir. Number one in the country. And how much do you weigh?
I fight in the 165-pound division.
Okay, 165 pounds. So then what do you... Are you always close to weight, or like what do you walk around?
I'm always always trying to be close to weight, you know. Always
right.
Trying to stay prepared, you know. That saying, "Don't have stay ready, so you don't have to get ready."
That's right.
So yeah, I always try to stay around weight.
How tall are you?
I like to say 6 foot, but I think okay. I'm like 5'11".
Yeah, you look 6 foot to me.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't see, but yep. So currently ranked number one in USA Boxing, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, sir.
And so tell me a little bit about. Okay, obviously right now you're fighting the Golden Gloves, and this is what you want to do. What's the future look like for you? What are your goals moving forward?
No, like Chris said, I'm a first-time participant of the Kansas City Golden Gloves, and, you know, I'm ready to fight this Saturday, actually, and make my spot for the national team and compete in the Nationals in Detroit. So hopefully bring back that title back to Kansas City and then move on to the pros and hopefully bring back a world title one day and, you know, have a conversation next time with the world title right here sitting in my hands.
Great fight town, Detroit. When I was a guy, I always wanted to go to the Kronk Gym because I was a huge Emmanuel Stewart fan. So Detroit, Michigan, that should be awesome. So 116-5 is your record.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so and your father coaches you?
My father, along with Coach John Brown and Sergio Flores.
Right, we know John Brown very well.
Yeah.
I always appreciate that. I like that. There's a lot of dads coach, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
What's that dynamic like?
I think me and my dad have found a balance, you know, throughout the years. Obviously, it's still a little bit, you know, hard because, you know, I think as a father, you know, he wants you to be safe, you know, and, you know, cares a lot about you. But I think we found that balance. Father and dad stay at home, and coach comes in when we're at the gym, and we're just trying to get better each day. And I think we've worked out a pretty good balance.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just reading the room, looking around. I feel like your mom's the boss, the way she's looking at me. She said, "You better watch what you ask my son."
Yeah.
So is she like the boss of her? Is that the way?
Yeah,
like,
I guess you could say.
Yeah,
she
you
runs
better
the
say
house,
that.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go. And is she? Have you always been? excited that he boxed you. Were you when he was there? Like, ah, you know. My mom would watch me like this. I go, Mom, you can't even see me fight. She goes, you get hit too much. I go, maybe I should stop. But you're good? All right, she's okay with it.
Yeah.
Now, you've been to the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs to train?
Yeah, of course.
What was that like?
You know, it's a very cool experience. I think I've gone like 3 times, I think, and I started my first time I went at 14. At 14 years old, and I think just being around those high level athletes, you know, not just boxing, there's wrestlers and different other sports that are there, and just being in that atmosphere along with like great level athletes is, you know, it motivates you to just keep going and wanting to pursue, you know, pushing for your goals, and, you know, being at that place is just an amazing experience.
So now you've been on the show, you're going to be our guy. We want you to win. We want you to be successful.
Yeah.
And we know you got to stay sharp. And you know, this guy has got such a big heart. He said, if you need any sparring, like this morning, he's ready to go right out here, whatever. Just to throw around, you know, he can just to make sure your jab's right if you need. I mean, that's what we do for you. So, Nate, I mean,
well,
you let me know.
Look, Chris Rock says nobody's above an ass whooping, and I've had my ass whooped in the boxing ring. Steven's witnessed that. I've had my ass whooped doing jiu-jitsu.
Always deserved, but that's all right.
I'm going to go ahead and politely decline.
I think he's got me, though.
He's very quick.
Yeah.
So if somebody asked you, okay, they haven't seen you fight, what's your style?
I think, you know, how Coach John Brown says, I always try to base my style off the triple E's. Explosive, be elusive, and electrifying in my fights. And I think that's always how I've always conducted myself in the ring. And I think that's the way I perform. I think I always leave an electrifying performance in the ring all the time.
Yeah. I know the answer to this, but I just want him to say it again. Who's your favorite fighter right now?
Canelo Alvarez.
Let's go,
man.
Alvarez.
He's got the triple E.
Play that.
Man.
He's got everything.
Talk about
that clip for him.
Yeah.
Play
you
the
wait
liner.
Till you hear this. This guy.
So we love Canelo, and he's going to fight Jaime Munguia on May 4th.
May 4th. Yep.
And look, I like Munguia. I try to support all Mexican fighters, but I don't. I feel bad. You know, I think it's going to be a really good fight while it lasts.
Yes, of course.
But Canelo's going to put it on him, right?
He's going to put it on him. 100%. Jaime Munguia is a very good fighter.
Canelo Alvarez. I enjoy your program, Border Patrol. Keep going.
See?
On Sports Radio.
You're listening to a show that Canelo appreciates.
Right,
so
there you go.
And so when you watch him, but I also like him the way he conducts himself out of the ring.
Yeah.
And he invests his money well. He does everything.
Yeah.
That's a guy, that's an example to follow both in and out of the ring, right?
Yeah, of course. That's definitely an example I'd like to follow, you know, eventually in my pro career. So, you know, and then also I just want to bring back, you know, everything to Kansas City. You know, Kansas City's been my rock, been my support. You know, I have all my family here. So, you know, being able to bring back to my community in Kansas City, Olathe, anything is how I'd like to conduct myself, just like Canelo Alvarez does.
We were just playing Canelo's ring walk song. He got a little fired up there.
You
see the Fernandez playing, you know.
What's your ring walk?
Yeah, what's your ring walk song?
Right now, my ring walk song that I've always done is called Por Mi México No Hay Dos, Como México No Hay Dos. It's my favorite one that I've come out to.
Who's that by?
Vicente Fernandez.
Yeah, Vicente Fernandez. That guy's got the best pipes, man. Okay.
Play the. What else do we always play? You got No Me Se
Rehat. No
Me Se Rehat.
We played the hell out of that one.
Yeah.
You put on a show there, right, for the fights.
Yeah, especially, so we'll probably go 30 bouts on Thursday, 30 on Friday. Saturday is more fan-friendly. There'll be walk-ups, lights, music, smoke.
So he gets his music.
I don't know if you're going to get his music, but he's going to get some music.
There'll be music.
But, so it's more fan-friendly, probably about 12 bouts. And, you know, this is where we pick our national team. And it's a great trip to Detroit. And if you win the national Golden Gloves, you've probably boxed 5 nights in a row. Everybody you've beaten is a regional champion. It is a tough, tough tournament. So, we get them ready, and we'll begin getting them ready Saturday night.
And when will when you qualify for Nationals, when will the Nationals be in Detroit? In May?
Yeah, they're like
is that
May
right?
13th, something like
yeah,
that.
May
yeah.
13th.
Yeah.
I see there. We now Nate knows. I'll crack someone when I hear this song.
That's
I don't
right.
Care.
I always make sure I get to a safe distance.
Right.
I'm elusive. I'm not really explosive, but I'm elusive. I like to ask this question of everybody that does combat sports.
Yeah.
When you stand in that ring,
mm-hmm.
it's just you and the other guy.
Yeah.
The mentality.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself these questions, you know? What is that like for you, that moment? What's going through your mind when you stand in that ring and it's just you and another man?
No, well, you know, definitely you get a little bit, you know, a little nerves before the fight. You know, it's boxing, you know. You're going to go in there to get hit. But, you know, as soon as I think you step into that ring, it's just a switch that you have to come in, like, you have to come into. I just come into that, you know, killer mentality all the time. And, you know, I like to say I turn into a shark. That's my nickname in boxing.
Take him into the deep water.
Yeah, El Tiburón. So I think El Tiburón comes out. Marco Romero stays outside, and El Tiburón comes into the ring.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll ask you real quick, a couple of fights. Can we say, so Canelo will beat Munguia.
Yes, sir.
Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia.
I actually have all my money on Devin Haney.
Yeah, I have all of my money and all of his money and his money.
I think we're gonna cash out April 20th, man.
Okay, Tyson Fury and Usyk.
Oh, you know,
that's a tough one.
That's a tough one. I like Tyson Fury. I think, well, he's the champion right now, so I got to go with him.
It should be a great fight. It's good because there's a lot of big fights coming up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And eventually, what's your timetable? When would you like to turn pro if everything goes well for you?
Right after the National Golden Gloves is my time, I think, we'd go pro. So hopefully after these National Golden Gloves, I make that step.
See, and your mom knows this. You could put him on a poster. You could put him on a magazine cover.
Yeah, that's right.
You put him on TV.
He doesn't get hit a lot, does he?
See, I have a face for radio. They hide. They don't want to see. But you could put him on the poster, and he's selling tickets.
Yeah.
So then when you turn pro, after you win Nationals, and hopefully you get all these accomplishments, then you got to come back in here and talk about your pro debut.
Yeah, of course.
And then we're going to start following you and supporting you, get people out there.
Yes, sir.
And
yeah.
So we're really excited about this. Chris, tell people again what they need to do to come out and watch Marco and a bunch of other great fighters coming up.
Memorial Hall, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Bell time is 7 p.m. Tickets are as cheap as 10 bucks. Good tickets available. 6 p.m., the box office opens.
And Marco fights when? If people specifically want to watch Marco?
He'll be boxing Saturday night. He's the number one seed as virtue of his ranking. So he got the bye. He's got a couple of game opponents. Mm-hmm. So, Saturday night.
Yes, sir.
And you're ready to go.
Yeah, man. You know, I try to stay prepared for anybody. You know, I got some hard fights coming up this weekend. So, you know, just settling in, getting into that zone, like I said, and you know, El Tiburón will come out on Saturday.
That's Marco Romero,
yeah.
And he's representing Kansas City, number one in the nation, and soon to be number one in your heart, all right?
That's right. Yep.
And he'll be fighting in the Golden Gloves coming up this Saturday night. Thanks for coming in studio. Chris, always, whenever we can do to support the Golden Gloves, we'll do it. And Marco, this is going to be first appearance of many, hopefully, on the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, don't forget about us when you become a big champ.
Oh, no,
you know,
we'll be in Vegas. We'll all be in Vegas.
Hyping you up.
Right.
Yeah.
Just don't forget about me. That's Marco Romero.
I always wanted to participate in a ring walk, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll do that here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. All right, let's talk a little baseball. We have Scott Sharp from the Kansas City Royals, Senior Vice President, Assistant GM, joining us. Scott, I know you're in Baltimore. You're from Baltimore, so I'm sure that it was fun to watch the Royals take care of business against the Orioles last night. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Stephen. Thanks. Yes, and I've gotten my fill of crab cakes so far, so it's been good.
Is there such a thing of getting your fill of crab cakes? Because I've never experienced that. I always want more.
I could keep going. I always want more. You're right.
Okay, so I also want more of the starting pitching. This has been, I know, it's one turn through the rotation. It's early and everything else, but I don't see how you could ask for anything more, and so let's start with what we saw last night from Alec Marsh. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, only 76 pitches to get through those 7 innings. I mean, he went out there and he won the fifth starting spot, And I'm quite sure that you guys were thrilled to see what he did last night on the road against a playoff quality opponent. Tell me what made Alec Marsh so effective last night.
Well, first of all, as you mentioned, the lineup he faced, it's a deep lineup. It's a playoff lineup. And what he did last night was not easy, and not easy in many ways. One, the conditions were terrible. It was, you know, obviously wet, cold, and then sitting for 5 or 6 days to get to that start, and the buildup of nerves and anxiety that goes along with that, and then to go out and just dominate and pitch as well as he did and be as aggressive in the strike zone. For me, that was the key last night. Is these guys will take walks, they will work at bats. And what he did is he applied the pressure from pitch one, and he established that he was going to be in the strike zone. And look, they made some good contact off of him, but the one thing with Alec is he's not going to back down. He used his defense, and he knew or believed that the key to winning that game last night was to pound the strike zone, and that's what he did.
We were talking with Mike Boddicker earlier about this, and he said the thing he loved so much about Alec was the late movement on his fastball, that it had late life to it that really seemed to bother the Orioles a lot, but to do that while throwing strikes. And I'm curious your thoughts just on, has he always had that movement on his fastball? And is that, I guess, what's the challenge like of helping a guy learn how to command a pitch that has good movement on it like that?
Well, I think the key is like where you start the pitch, right? And what type of feel you have for it. If I started it, you know, a left-handed hitter's hip, is it going to come back over the plate? And on a given night, you know, a guy's ball will move more than the start previous. So, you know, there's a lot of feel that goes into that, you know, early on. And for a guy early in his career to be able to do what Alec does with that feel and understand start to start, what pitches are working and how much the ball is moving, it is very tricky. It's not the easiest thing to do for a guy who hasn't done it for a long time at the major league level. But the thing with Alec is, you know, he has an array of pitches. He used them all last night very effectively. And again, when you have that number of pitches to be able to throw them all in the strike zone, one is tricky, but two, when you do it, it makes every other pitch that much more effective because the hitters cannot sit on one particular pitch on a given night.
So Alec Marsh was terrific, and all the starting pitchers have been good, but man, the other star that really stands out obviously is Brady Singer and his 10 strikeouts. And we talked about the opportunity for him to bounce back and show the real Brady Singer. You had to be very happy with what you saw from his first start.
Yeah, I was. Happy for Brady, happy for, obviously, the team. You know, and I do believe there's a psychological component to this. How much, I don't know. But, you know, with the additions of Lugo and Waka, and obviously Cole Reagan's halfway through last year, I just think generally, one, somewhat of a removal of pressure from any one starter, because they don't feel like they need to shoulder the entire burden. And I think secondarily is they can watch how other guys go about their business. And there's a competitive nature of like, okay, I like, for example, Alec Marsh. Like, I saw four guys before me do something that I want to do, and I'm going to go out there and compete with them and show them that I'm on the same level as a Seth Lugo or a Michael Walker or a Brady Singer or Cole Reagans. And I think there's a lot that the competitive part of that plays into it.
Okay. I feel like every time we have you on the show, I'm going to ask you about this guy. But he had a good day again yesterday. Mikel Garcia. And also, I think it's people don't understand how intimidating it can be for a young player that doesn't speak English fluently to work very hard and then conduct interviews in English, right? And to get to that comfort level. So that right off the bat, that impresses me about him. And I've felt like this, he's a perfect candidate to break out this year based on what he did in Venezuela and he did in the offseason and all these different numbers suggest this. Tell me more about the person, about the guy that's taking over at third base and why you guys feel like he's going to be such an important part of this baseball team moving forward.
Well, I think you touched on an element of it. One, there's a supreme amount of confidence. I know one thing. I would not go to Venezuela or the Dominican and attempt to do an interview in Spanish. I know that. So there is a tremendous amount of confidence. Now, we do push our players. Monica Ramirez does a great job with pushing our players to learn English, to conduct interviews when they can and when they feel comfortable in English. But there is an element of confidence that it takes to do that. You know, obviously he's got family ties to the major leagues, so when you're around it, when you understand that, you know, what the major leagues is about, I think that eases the anxiety and nervousness about playing in the major leagues. But the way he plays is sort of the way he conducts himself off the field. He's very calm. He's very low-key. He doesn't get, you know, it's not like a highly excitable individual. He is on the field when he does something good and the team is doing well, but it is as even as a player that I've been around, has operated. It's sort of just one heartbeat and it's really impressive for somebody that has that little major league experience to play that way.
You know, one of the things I remember us talking with you about Garcia last year was, you know, the one thing he didn't do last year was hit for much power. He slugged .358. And I remember asking you, do you see that being something that comes along as he develops, maybe gets a little stronger, gets his feet under him? And you told us you guys are optimistic that he will develop some power. All five of his hits are extra base hits so far this season. Is the power coming even more quickly than you thought? I don't want to make too much out of five games or anything, but what are you seeing from him in that regard driving the baseball this year?
Well, I think with each year he's certainly going to get stronger as a, you know, just from a development standpoint, from a strength standpoint. The thing with him is with Michael is his ability to just make contact on such a consistent basis. You know, that is what will eventually allow the power to play because he's good enough that he puts the barrel on the ball more often than a lot of other players. He just has that hand eye. And as you get stronger, you know, as long as you're making consistent barrel contact, that power should come. He keeps his hands inside the ball really well. He drives the off gap really well. You know, for me, you know, watching like a young Mike Moustakas and a young Eric Hosmer and even like Will Myers, guys that we had a long time ago, it's when you see guys that can drive the ball, and it's not necessarily out of the ballpark, but when you see guys that can drive the ball the other way at a young age, you feel like, all right, power is going to come when they learn to pull it, when they get a little bit stronger, those balls to the right center gap, if you're right-handed, they leave the ballpark. And then when you're sitting on a particular pitch or you're a little out in front and you pull it, that ball is going to leave the ballpark too to the pull side. So I think you're seeing that development with him. Again, I don't believe that he's trying to hit for any more power now than he was last year. I think he's just trying to put really good swings on the ball and hit the ball hard. And a byproduct is, you know, right now the ball's going further and going into the gaps and allowing for extra base hits.
All right, Scott, final question for you today. Oh, boy. Get your popcorn for this one. It's a 12:05 first pitch Kansas City time. Cole Reagans and Corbin Burns. Outstanding pitching matchup for Cole Reagans. What would you like to see from him to build on the success that he had in his first start?
I just think you continue with that, right? The more he's in the strike zone, which he was, the more effective he'll be. He has the weapons to really get either sided hitter out, right or left. I think it's a good matchup. They're more left-handed dominant, you know, in their lineup. But again, when you start opening day and you're early in the season, you're getting the other team's best too. So he matches up against Burns. He understands that. I think Cole is very savvy. He understands who he's matching up against, and I think he understands, all right, that puts a little bit more pressure on me in terms of, you know, I got to allow fewer runs because of who I'm matched up against. Hopefully the 12 o'clock start Kansas City time is going to happen. We got a lot of rain here, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it may end up being delayed, but we'll see.
All right, well, we'll keep fingers crossed. Is it still raining now, or is it?
It is,
okay,
yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. You know what? You do it all. We talk baseball and a weather report from
time.
Scott Sharp.
And food. You
absolutely,
know.
And crab cakes. Full service report in Baltimore from Scott Sharp. Scott, thank you for the time. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
What else you need from Baltimore? Food, weather, baseball. He's got it all. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Thank you to our guests today. We had Todd Lebo, Mike Boddicker, Corey Boddicker, Matt Derrick, Dennis Dodd, Chris Walden, Marco Romero, Scott Sharp. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear the opening segment about the stadium vote and our thoughts, you can check that out, or any part of the show. Check it out at 810WHB.com, the podcast page. If you're going to be at the Smithville track meet today, say hello. Just wave at me, you know. Give me my space and wave at me. You both. You know.
Or just come up and give him a hug.
No. Tip of the cap.
And if you...
Thumbs up. But.
Miss Stevens' theatrical rendition of Rocky.
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah, and you wanted to watch the real thing.
Yeah. You check that out.
Go watch it.
Yeah, Nate. Go watch the movie.
I'm planning
What's
on it.
What's stopping you?
I don't know. Nothing. No good excuse. I don't think I realized I hadn't seen the whole movie until we did the read-through the other day.
You know what? We're all different, right?
Yep.
We're all different. I think I saw Rocky when I was 5 years old.
I mean, I might have seen it when I was 5 years old. I don't remember it, you know?
I mean, I think I watched it 100 times.
I definitely did not do that.
I think it's the first movie that made me cry. Honestly.
I was too busy watching Star Wars 1,000 times.
I was
watching
Star Wars, too.
I've watched Rocky II the most of all of them. I think. You know.
Can't go wrong.
No, you can't. No, you cannot.
You need to go. You need to get young Richie St. John, and you need to go watch that documentary.
Just got to get together.
Yeah,
make it happen.
I want to talk to you about it.
I'll talk to you about it.
Talk about it.
All right, Kansas City. It was a long night last night. Long morning today. We got through it together. Keep on listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, goodbye.